from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your Sports Radio KJR 950 AM and 93.3 FM Sports Headlines.
Yeah, baby, here we go. Headlines on Softy and Dick on a Wednesday night right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. That's right, we're an FM now, baby, over on 93.3. So move your presets. Headlines are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Big thanks to VenueKings.com for sponsoring Chuck and Buck's trip to the desert next week, starting at 6 a.m. from Peoria on Monday. Well, big trade in the NFL. Kansas City sending wide receiver Tyreek Hill to Miami for a first, a second, and a fourth in 2022, and a fourth and a sixth in 2023. The Dolphins then flip around their dickie and give Tyreek Hill 4 years, $120 million with 72.5 guaranteed.
I liked Justin Coleman when he was here. You liked Justin
very
Coleman.
Much.
When he was here, and now he's back.
I like it.
1 year contract with the Seahawks after playing in 2017 and 18 here. The Lions signed him to a 4-year, $36 million deal and cut him 2 years later.
Kraken win last night 4-2 against the Coyotes. Two goals from Carson Soucy. They are at the Kings on Saturday at 7:30 right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Colin Kaepernick in Seattle today, working out with Hawks wide receiver Aaron Fuller over at the UW. Caps camp says at least five teams have reached out with interest, none of them being Seattle.
And Mariners have grabbed a reliever, Sergio Romo. He's 39. He came from the A's, 4.67 ERA and 66 appearances out of the bullpen last year for Oakland. All right, Corey Brock will join us coming up at 5:30 tonight on the show from Peoria. Is this not our old traffic
it
music?
Is. This is NFL Films.
Didn't sounds we used like to run this as a traffic bed back
no,
in the day?
No, I think it was a Batman song, right?
It sounds a little bit like Batman.
You looked that up there. We used to run this as a traffic bed.
Find the Batman song. I think that's the one he's thinking about.
Way back in the day. All right. Well, what do you think of Hugh Millen's assessment of Cam Chancellor?
I think it's fair. Okay. I think as happens frequently, people say something, and if it's negative, then you're automatically a hater, right? Like, if you say anything that is a little bit less than the general perception, then, you obviously hate Cam.
Did you not say he was a liability against tight ends?
I said that was the weakness of his game.
Okay.
I used the word liability.
All right.
I mean,
right.
That was the... what I was doing was I was comparing him to DK Metcalf.
Okay.
And I said, there's two levels of star.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Hall of Fame level of star, like Bobby Wagner, like Earl Thomas, like Richard Sherman.
Right.
Then there was the less than Hall of Fame level of star. And I put Cam Chancellor. I would put DK Metcalf, at least at this point in his career, in that level.
All right. Well,
and I don't think you trade Hall of Fame level stars in the middle of their career, in the prime of their career. I think you can trade secondary stars in the middle of their career.
All right. Well, I wanted to get Hugh's take on that. He's with us right now. Hugh and Snoqualmie, you're on the air. How are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm kind of catered to this conflict here.
Yes, you are. You are the judge and the jury and the executioner.
Okay.
You will decide. So.
Yeah. I'll talk to Cam anytime.
I asked you to come on the air with us real quick. Would you consider Cam Chancellor to be a liability against tight ends when he played in the NFL back in the day?
No, not at all. I'm just looking at text as it came across, and it said, I agree that Cam Chancellor had a hole in the game, and it was hard. Every player.
Time out here, Kevin. Do it and fix that because there's a hole in his connection for sure. There's
it's
no doubt about it. There's
right
a hole
now.
In his connection.
Yeah.
So why don't you do this, Shockey? You know what? Just get him to call back from his phone. I have no problem with it. That's fine. His phone sounds fine because that's not working. So get him on his phone. But I want to get Hugh's take on that. And then there's a real reason why I want to get him on.
Just to disagree with me.
No, I want to spring the DK Metcalf pull on him and watch him just melt down. Remember in Raiders of the Lost Ark when the guy's face
melted
when they opened the ark? That's exactly what is about to happen. I'm going to bring this pull up to Hugh Millen, and he is going to snap on the air.
I think he will. I also want to ask Hugh, when he does talk about DK or about Cam, why wasn't Cam considered? I mean, if that was his liability and it wasn't really a liability, why wasn't he considered
Ask him. He's back on the phone. Go ahead.
I want you to talk about his coverage, but also I want you to explain to us why Cam is seen by most, including the NFL, who never voted him first-team All-Pro. seen as a lesser football player than Bobby Wagner, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman?
Well, I think that, first of all, it's hard for everybody in the secondary to be recognized. I'll give you two examples. When I got drafted, the Rams, they literally had four Pro Bowl linemen blocking for Eric Dickerson. And the left tackle, Irv Pankey, everybody just said, Irv's just as good as any of them. But you just run out of room to vote guys. Same thing with the Dallas Cowboys. Mark Tuinay was the left tackle. And, you know, they had Allen and some of the names, yeah, Gogan. You had all these guys going to the Pro Bowl on that line, and Tuinay just kind of got left behind. And so I think in the same way that K.J. Wright probably got undervalued, you know, Bobby Wagner, there's only so many guys that you can you can send accolades to. Lance Briggs, when he was with the Bears, you know, he's next to Brian Urlacher. I mean, there's a lot of guys that kind of fall through the wayside in that regard. But I think Chancellor, well, I would say if you said, okay, what was the weakest part of his game? You could say that it was covering, but that doesn't mean it was a weakness. Mm-hmm. Because, okay, you can remember Antonio Gates. Okay, he lit up every – you know, I remember a game that everybody had trouble, including KJ, everybody had trouble covering him. In my mind's eye, I can remember times he got beat.
Greg Olsen killed him a few times.
Well, remember now, they were playing cover three. They were three, and he was the curl flat player close to the line of scrimmage. So his zone responsibilities, you know, they didn't play as much man-to-man then, you know. And so a lot of times in zone, it's not – he might be the closest guy, but that isn't necessarily his responsibility.
Gotcha. Right.
And so but, you know, to me, Cam was just such an unbelievable enforcer, you know, for the defense that they wanted to play. You could literally see running backs. They would not take the cutback lane because they knew that Chancellor was on the backside unblocked. And he would literally say, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You think you have the cutback lane, don't come my way. And he was as good as I've ever seen in that regard. So in my mind, did he have a weakness?
Yeah.
Just like everybody, yes. But in no way was he a liability. Look, at the combine, they measure you in 8 inches your height. He was 6'3" 2/8", obviously 6'3¼". Jamal Adams was 5'11" 5/8". He's 3 5/8 inches taller than Jamal Adams. The length there as a quarterback, when you're in the pocket and you see that kind of size out there to be able to cover, in no way, if you're going to say, was he a liability in coverage?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
Gotcha.
Hell no.
All right, listen.
It might have been the weakest aspect of his game, but he was not a liability.
Listen, there's a real reason why we wanted to bring you on. And now I'm reminded of how this conversation came up in the first place on the show a couple hours ago. We're talking about DK Metcalf, right? And the conversation came up because Tyreek Hill, as you saw today, Hugh, got traded to Miami, and the Dolphins gave him $72.5 million guaranteed. And they're paying him $30 million a year. So after the Devontae Adams contract, after the Christian Kirk contract, what Hopkins is making, we were surmising and talking about DK Metcalf. And I wanted to get you on the air, most of all, because I kind of know what your reaction is going to be here. Okay. The question was, should the idea of trading DK Metcalf be on the table for the Seahawks? 4,000 votes in 2 hours. 54% say no, and 46% say yes, it should be on the table.
Well,
what do you think?
First of all, that little horn soundbite you had applies to me. I would say every player, if you want to just parse it out, the semantics of what you say, every player is on the table, particularly now in a rebuilding mode. Because if there's some package you trade any player for, but I would say as a general rule, I think you talk about tiers. I think that DK Metcalf has Hall of Fame tools, and he can be in that tier. I think that they criminally misused him last year. He was a guy who had 900 yards his rookie year, and then he had 1,300 yards. You thought, okay, this guy is destined. in year three to go 1,500, and now with 17 games, he's going to be at 1,500 every freaking year for the next 6-7 years. And so I would say that the main question I would have is, what are you going to do to get him more involved? Because I think he's got Julio Jones. Pick a guy. Pick any big receiver, Calvin Johnson. You know, he has the ability to be a Hall of Famer, no question. Now, I don't know where Seattle is in their rebuild, but trading players of that quality, that's a particular player, count me out. I want to keep him, and I want to pay him just about anything he's going to ask for.
I just think that his skill set needs refining, though, right? Or is it literally just opportunity? And he can run every single route you want him to run, and he can be just as good everywhere on the field as Devontae Adams can be.
Well, I think Devontae Adams, I've said this, I think Devontae Adams for 2021 was the best receiver in the NFL. I mean, he's at the top of his game. But if you're talking about the mold of clay, the skill set for DK is higher than Devontae Adams. Can he still refine? Yes. I mean, I think that you had we've seen guys that Doug Baldwin, he right around year 4 or 5, I can remember in training camp, it was a red zone going towards the lake. I remember watching and just going, wait a minute, that guy has added – he has added a repertoire to his game, and it was going into year 4 and year 5. And so I think DK, can he stand more polished? Yes. I think Jerry Rice was getting more polished going into his third year. That's not a knock on him.
Yeah.
That's not a pejorative at all. I think Metcalf is, throw him the ball and he'll get you 1,500 yards. And as he acquires more refinement, he could be a 1,700 yard. He could be breaking NFL records.
Yeah,
because he's so quick. Here's the problem: you got big receivers, and big receivers tend to be sluggish at the top of their route, and they tend to be easy covers because it takes them a while to slow down, and it takes them a while to accelerate. They might have top end speed, but they're just sluggish at the top of the route. DK Metcalf has the all time fastest 10-yard split. Google this. The all-time fastest 10-yard split in the history of the combine. And it plays out on the field. He can hammer his feet. He's got sewing machine feet. He has the acceleration. So he has that ability to refine in every sense and be one of the go down as one of the greatest all time.
Yeah. So let me, before you go, Hugh and Hugh Millen, we asked you to come on the air and give us a few thoughts on this topic. I love when stuff like this just pops up on the radio show like a freaking, you know, a plant out of the ground, like a weed out of the ground, and we got to address it. But Hugh, you said something there that you would pay DK Metcalf just about whatever he wants. He wants $30 million a year, like the Dolphins just gave Tyreek Hill on a 4-year deal. Was $75 million guaranteed. Are you in?
Well, I'm inclined to do it with the caveat that you recognize what he is and prioritize him. I mean, if he's just going to be at 900 yards, then I think it's foolish. I think it's imprudent, and it will end up being a complete waste.
Right. He can't be 25th in targets if you're giving him that kind of money.
No.
Right.
No, hell no. No, I mean, I don't understand. I don't see why he can't have, 160, 170 targets for a year.
Right.
Good things are going to happen. Like Troy Aikman said, you know, he says, I don't understand why you don't throw a deep ball to DK Metcalf once a quarter. He said that. He said that more than once on Seahawks telecast. You know, and so I'm in lockstep with Troy Aikman on this. So my feeling about Metcalf is, Dick, to your point that there's two caliber of players, in my mind, he's in the top caliber.
Okay.
And what do you say?
Right now. Right now, not just potential.
Right now. Right now, because of what I know he can be. What I would do is I would just say, look, everything, this guy's the hub of the wheel. Yeah. Everything goes to this guy.
Okay.
He is an absolute nightmare. He's he's the all-time freak in the history of the Seattle Seahawks. No player. Freddie Young, a linebacker, got traded to the Colts for two number ones. No player in the history of the Seattle Seahawks has ever been a physical freak relative to his position. Not Walter Jones, nobody, relative to their skill set and their potential. like DK Metcalf. They are underutilizing. They got to get their head in the game with him, throw him the freaking football, let his refinement take over, and this guy absolutely can be a Hall of Famer.
Love it. Hey, thanks for doing this, man. Go back to whatever you were doing. All right?
Rock and roll. Enjoy, guys.
You bet. Hugh Millen with us. I mean, look, obviously, I think all of us should be able to agree on if they're going to give him that kind of money, then you have to make him a focal point for the offense. I mean, you almost have to start the offense through him in a lot of ways, or at least give the appearance that you're starting the offense through him. And I totally agree on the 160, 170 targets a year. I mean, this is a guy who last year, DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupp had 191, Deontay Johnson 170, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Mark Andrews, the tight end, had more freaking targets than DK Metcalf did. I just don't know. My concern would be this: as long as Pete Carroll is here, are they ever going to be able to get him enough targets to justify that contract?
I don't think that there's another argument to be made, and that is there any position that is worth spending that percentage of the cap? We've talked about it with quarterbacks all the time. It's not worth spending 20-plus percent of the cap on a quarterback. So what is the number of the cap that it's worth spending for a wide receiver?
Well, I would say the difference is that you only have one starting quarterback. You can have three or four different wide receivers that you can go to if things don't work out.
You know, I heard a radio show that had an interview with the head coach of the Seahawks yesterday.
Yeah.
And this came up.
Well, your expectation, obviously, is to win championships, Coach. Do you believe that you need an elite quarterback to do that in this year's NFL?
No, you don't. You don't need the best guy in the league to do it.
Is that the right wide receiver to have for a head coach with that attitude?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. And that's exactly what I'm saying, that as long as Pete Carroll is here, will DK Metcalf ever be able to justify $30 million a year when he's 20th in the NFL in targets?
Well, and
will Pete Carroll ever allow that horse to run?
I would go a step further and say it's not just the wide receiver you don't want to pay too much in a Pete Carroll system. I don't think Pete Carroll wants to pay any player at any position top dollar.
He's paying the kicker a lot.
Because he wants to be balanced. He doesn't want to have holes in his game. He wants a balanced football team with no real weaknesses. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he did at one point make Russell the highest paid quarterback.
He did.
He made Sherman the highest paid corner. He made Earl the highest paid safety, and he made Bobby the highest paid linebacker, right?
So you better be Hall of Fame players.
He has done that before. I mean, the idea that he doesn't want to commit those types of dollars now, maybe he'll only do it when it's justified, and it was justified for those guys, but, you know, I don't know. I think Pete Carroll wants to get back to his roots. He wants to get back to where he was 10 years ago and run the crap out of the ball and play great defense and limit mistakes. 520. This conversation is over because Corey Brock's going to join us next segment and talk some baseball. Is there a deal out there that could help the Mariner rotation tonight? Tonight, Corey Brock will weigh in next from Peoria on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Wow, look, Corey Hart for Corey Brock. Aha! I see what you did there.
Thank you.
There is one question and one question only, though, for Corey Brock. Are you ready, Corey, for the only question that matters?
Do I wear sunglasses at night?
Bingo. Do you or do you not wear sunglasses at night?
Yeah, at my advanced age, I try not to, honestly. I need all the help I can get at this point.
Oh, God, I love it. Well, Corey Brock is with us from The Athletic. He's going to be here throughout the year, obviously, on the radio show. I mean, hell, the damn season starts 2 weeks from tomorrow, for crying out loud, in Minnesota. Are these guys ready? I mean, they got the shortened spring training. What are the big storylines? How do the guys look? And are they going to be good to go in 15 days from now?
Well, we're going to find out. Everyone's in the same boat. So, you know, the pitching generally has been ahead of the hitting, and I don't think that's a real surprise there. So, you know, a lot of guys are off to a slow start offensively. But, yeah, as far as storylines, you know, we're looking at Casey Sadler, probably one of their best relievers last year. He's going to be out for the season with shoulder surgery. So that really hurts what is still a fairly deep unit, but certainly they were counting on him for some big innings. So it looks like they signed Sergio Romo today, 38-year-old Sergio Romo, who was with the A's
and the Twins recently. So he'll be in camp tomorrow. I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk to him. But, you know, generally, yeah, they've ramped things up pretty quickly. If you remember, Softy, they had their first full squad workout a week ago Monday, and they were playing a game by Friday. So, yeah, it's kind of a truncated spring training, but, you know, they seem to think they'll get this thing whittled down to a workable roster by the time they get out of here in less than 2 weeks.
Corey, there are some Mariner fans that are ticked off that they didn't spend big bucks, man. Bring me Carlos Correa. Bring me Trevor Story. So let's talk about that shortstop position. Did they not go get those guys truly because of J.P. Crawford or because Jerry DePoto knew that there's no way that those guys are going to come here?
Well, I mean, yeah, they had told J.P. Crawford that, you know, he was going to be their shortstop. So, but, you know, I think they kicked the tires on all these guys and were probably willing to go down the road, you know, fairly deep on some guys. But they were never going to go 7 years on Marcus Semien. They were never going to go 7 years on Chris Bryant. Trevor Story, 6 years? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how far they got in terms of talking with him. I know they weren't one of the final teams that Story was considering. So I think they looked at the market and realized, you know, we just don't want to financially get attached to a guy whose contract is going to be expiring when he's in his late 30s, eating up a ton of our payroll space. So he pivoted. Jerry pivoted to his old standby, right? He went to the trade market and picked up Jesse Winker, who I think is a fabulous outfielder, and they got a more than serviceable third baseman, too, as part of that deal with Gino Suarez. So, you know, I think the offense is going to be better. I don't know if it's going to be good enough. And there's some other question marks, too. But,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, just because, and again, like, we have to caution people. And, Softy, Dick, I know you guys get this, but it takes two to tango, right? Like, guys got to want to come here. And in some cases, maybe this isn't the attractive destination that we all think it is. So maybe part of that came into play as well.
All right. Producer Kevin Shockey, Corey Brock is with us, who is the one that called you to put you on the air, is very, very, very upset with you and what just came out of your mouth.
Upset is a little strong.
Very angry. He's been cursing your name for the last 30 seconds. Kevin, tell him why.
Okay, Corey, I have heard this from way too many people. If you talk about what they had said 3-4 years ago was they were preparing for this offseason where they're going to be like generational talents available in the free agent market. If they're not willing to tango, I hold the Mariners responsible for that. They have to have a plan for that. And if they aren't going to tango, then why don't you do something like the Twins did and overspend to get them for shorter periods of time? I feel like we're letting them off the hook way too much for this it takes two to tango thing. They're going to be in Seattle forever. They need to have a plan for that, don't they?
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. And they said they would spend when it was time. And, you know, they didn't. Yeah, well, I mean, they gave Robbie Ray $115 million. I don't think we should forget about that or sleep on that. I still think that was a really good deal for a guy who is in his prime and is coming off the Cy Young. But, you know, again, you just don't know how the other side sees the equation. I don't know if this is a case of where, you know, if Seattle has to overspend to get any of these guys, and I mean overspend by a lot, sort of like when they were, you know, a party of one bidding for Robinson Cano, right? No one else was going that far. I mean, is that really smart? Is that really fiscally smart? I don't know. I just think that Jerry saw the direction. That the length and money on some of these contracts were going, and just pivoted the other way.
Well, it's only fiscally stupid if they allow it to be fiscally stupid, because they can always make up for it because there's no salary cap in baseball. And I realize that they're setting their own budget. I get that. But I do, Corey, think it's fair, and I'm willing to kind of keep an open mind and see how this thing develops in the next couple of years. I think it's fair to say and ask if John Stanton and the rest of these owners are made for this game. Honestly, I mean, they're 22nd in baseball and payroll right now. To me, that's unacceptable for a team in that size of a market to be 22nd in payroll and be spending less on players right now than Cincinnati. That's not appropriate to me as a fan to be that low.
No. And, you know, again, you do the composition of your roster, of course, comes into play here. You know, you have a lot of 0-3 service time players here who just aren't making a whole lot of money to begin with. But no, your point is fair. And as we sit here today, on the 23rd, this roster may look different in 2 weeks. They may add a piece, not a big money guy, but they may go out and make a trade. Maybe I still think they need to get a pitcher. And we could talk about that if you want, and they may add something at the trade deadline. So, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. They've said all along, John Stanton said they would spend. Jerry said that he had clearance to spend. I just don't think they wanted to spend stupidly.
Well, as long as we're talking about tangoing, Oakland wants to tango with Frankie Montas and Sean Manea. So tell us whether you think either one of those or both of those guys would be a good idea and what it would cost to get those guys.
Yeah, I like Montas a little better, Dick, because he's a right-hander, probably misses more bats. Manea's a lefty, and that's fine. You know, they already have two lefties in the rotation. I don't know if you necessarily need a third. He would still be an upgrade, and I think it would be a smart move to get him. But, you know, as we look at the prospect base, you know, they traded one of their biggest chips in Brandon Williamson to the Reds in order to make that deal happen. They still have some workable pieces here. Yeah. You know, again, we're not talking about Nuelve Marte and Julio Rodriguez. Those guys aren't going anywhere.
Right.
Same with George Kirby. But, you know, Levi Stout, the outfielder Zach DeLoach. Yeah. I think if you get creative with a package, I would go all in on that because I think they need another arm. I don't think George Kirby and Matt Brash are quite ready yet. I think, you know, I tell you what, you add Frankie Montas, and then suddenly you have the best rotation in the American League West and probably one of the top ones in the American League, period. So I still got a feeling that they're going to add a pitcher.
Well, holla frickin' Louie to that, man. Everything you said, I'm totally with you. I mean, there's a faction of the fan base that doesn't want to give up any of these prospects, and you just gave up one to get Winker and Suarez and Williamson. And look, if you give up one or two, you've got thousands of them left. I'm being sarcastic, obviously, but, I mean, this is why you have these guys, right? To trade them when the time is appropriate or put them on the roster. Not all of them will make the roster, and most of them will never even touch the major leagues, for God's sake. So I'm absolutely a 1,000% with you. Do you think that Jerry DePoto, just real quick, Corey, like 30 seconds, is he working on a deal for one of those guys from the A's, you think?
I don't know if it's with the A's, but I bet you he is working the phones to get another arm in here. And I don't mean like a number five innings filler like Tyler Anderson. I mean a guy like a mid-rotation guy,
yes.
A guy like Frankie Montas. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're trying to work something out.
Love it. All right, great stuff, and we'll start up on a regular basis in about a week or so. All right, pal?
Thanks, man.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks.
You bet. Corey Brock, and Corey, don't hang up because Kevin wants to yell at you off the air. We'll get a break. 5:39, Seren Petro. Tyreek Hill is now a member of the Dolphins. What's the reaction in Kansas City? We'll find out in 25 minutes right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM. So if you go to the iHeartRadio app, you'll see Sports Radio KJR 93.3 FM. You're home for the Huskies, Kraken, Sounders, FC. And just so you know, if you don't know, we've made the switch over to FM radio. If you're right now listening on 950 AM, even on iHeart, if you're in your car, and I think this will be especially helpful when you're at like a sporting event, for example, 93.3 FM is the new home of your favorite sports talk and dorks here on the air. And we've made the switch. We're going to dump the AM in about, a week and a half or so? Is that right?
Except on this show.
For a little over 2 weeks.
Yeah, but we stay on for another month or so. So I'd like to do a little, you know, turn out the lights. I mean, show me the last one to listen to this station on the AM signal before we go officially over to FM. Let's give a prize away. Maybe a brand new car radio. I don't know.
No, we want them to switch now.
Well, we want you to make the switch now, but somebody's going to be the last one. Maybe it'll be me. Do we know what time and day we are actually making the switch? Can we tell people, by the way, what's happening with the 950 AM signal?
Yeah, I mean, 950 is going to have Colin Cowherd, Dan Patrick, Doug Gottlieb. It's going to be 950 is basically going to be sort of what 1090 is right now.
Right, and then 1090 becomes what in the next month and a half?
A conservative talk station.
Conservative talk station for all you conservatives out there. We're taking care of the whole gamut of people there, man. So we are going to be in about a month and a half making the switch full-time to FM, but we're on FM right now, so get your presets set to 93.3 FM. But if you listen on the iHeart app, there's a brand new feature. There's a little microphone sitting there. When you go to the KJR page, it's called the Talkback Mic.
Correct.
And you can literally leave messages for us through that feature like this one.
Hey, this is Ian from, let's say, Maple Valley. What happens at 3 o'clock? Do all the brains leave the studio? DK Metcalf is a once-in-a-generation type player, body type, someone the Seahawks have never had. Stop it. And do not drag my guy Kevin Shockey into your pit of stupidity.
That is the new name of this show, the Pit of Stupidity.
I got to be honest with you. I think we just found the name for our editorial board
that we're going to announce next week.
The Pit of Stupidity.
That is classic.
You got to save that for me, Shockey. I need that.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
Every day from 3 to 7, this is the Pit of Stupidity with Softy and Dick. I'm totally cool with that.
Oh, my God.
First of all, I would say to that guy, save your stupid opinions for your stupid show from 1 to 3. But we have even more messages that came in. Go ahead.
This is Jim from Kennedale. Softy and Petros. It's the best of the best. I tell myself I want an hour, but I'm thinking, that's too much. I couldn't survive.
Now, did you know what I was assuming? I'm Softy.
People have asked before, how come we don't have the guy on more often? Because he's literally on the air while we're on the air. He does his show in L.A. from 3 to 7. So, you know, you put two and two together, you figure it out, blah, blah, blah.
Do you think the people in L.A. would enjoy hearing Softy on their show?
Have you ever
been invited back?
Yeah, I was on with him and Tim Cates 2 weeks ago when Russell got traded. I've been on with them many times. I was on them twice in the last 6 months. The first time was when they were trying to figure out what the hell happened to the T-Man. They had no idea where Rob was, so they asked me, like, I know where he is. And then I was on when Russell Wilson got traded 2 weeks ago. So
that was a fun week.
No, we love having Petros on, and I got to be honest with you, man. Dick, you know this. Normally when you do an interview, you have kind of a plan, right?
Yeah, of course.
We have no plan when we talk to Petros every Wednesday. Zero plan whatsoever.
I know how Dick feels.
All right, one more message. Go ahead.
No, Dick Thane. I believe Cam Chancellor was good. He was not excellent on covering tight ends.
See, he thinks you think he was excellent. He's totally getting it backwards now. This is what happens. It's like the game of telephone, right?
Yes.
You throw an opinion out there. Dick Thane goes on the air and says Russell Wilson should be traded. And then it becomes Dick Thane doesn't think Russell Wilson should be traded.
Did you hear Dick Thane wants them to kill Russell Wilson?
And then it becomes he wants them to bring back Doug Baldwin. And then it becomes he wants to fire Pete Carroll. And then it becomes Dick Thane's dead.
Right? All the telephone
it just grows and grows and grows and grows. But that conversation came up because we were talking about DK Metcalf earlier today, asking if it's appropriate to have the conversation about trading him. And you took that as an opportunity to say, hey, look, I love DK Metcalf. He's great. He's phenomenal. There's a couple things in his game I'd like to see him do better, like Cam Chancellor when he covered tight ends, which was your opinion, not mine. But that was your tool that you used to make that point.
Well, yeah, and I think the bigger point was that there's levels of superstardom, right? There's the Hall of Fame superstardom level, which I think we can all agree Cam Chancellor does not have the resume for. He was never even a first-team All-Pro, so he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And to this point, DK Metcalf has never been a first-team All-Pro, and I think he needs to develop his game to become a first-team All-Pro.
Well, he's only been in the NFL for 3 years, so we'll see what happens starting now. But I think the best way to get DK Metcalf to become a first-team All-Pro, throw the guy the ball. Throw him the ball. He needs the ball 10 freaking times a game. All right, this is the Pit of Stupidity. Soren Petro will jump in the pit next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
Pit of Stupidity.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your Sports Radio KJR 950 AM and 93.3 FM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, headlines on a rainy, windy, gloomy Wednesday night on the Pit of Stupidity, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Pit of Stupidity.
Yeah, looking for tickets for the Mariner home opener April the 15th, are you? VenueKings.com can get you in the door for $20 right now on the website. Wow. Check it out, VenueKings.com. Be sure and use code Softy at checkout for a little discount. Big news in the NFL, baby. It's a whopper. Wide receiver Tyreek Hill sent from Kansas City to Miami today The Dolphins giving up a first, a second, and a fourth in 2022, a fourth and a sixth in 23. Tyreek Hill then got a four-year, $120 million deal with the Dolphins for $73 million guaranteed.
Well, here's a political move that has NBA playoff implications. New York City has lifted their vaccine mandate for athletes, meaning Kyrie Irving is eligible as of Sunday to play in home games.
Wow, he's no longer among the unvaccinated that can't play basketball. Is that correct?
He's still unvaccinated folks.
Still among the unvaccinated, but now he can play basketball.
Now he can play basketball, exactly. Yeah. What else? Ian Rappaport saying there is mutual interest from the Rams and Bobby Wagner in getting a deal done in Los Angeles. The Mariners signed reliever Sergio Romo from the A's. He's 39 years old, had a 4.67 ERA and 66 appearances last year.
Rutgers All-American Ron Harper Jr. declaring for the 2022 NBA Draft, and the Storm have announced their preseason opener will be at Climate Pledge April 23rd against the Sparks.
And the Kraken, by the way, today announcing they will not increase season ticket prices for next year. If you're a season ticket holder of a 22 or a 44-game package like I am, you agree to a progressive increase every single year. That has been put on hold for next season, by the way, by the Kraken. NBA basketball, the Knicks lead the Hornets 111-100. Late fourth quarter, Pistons up on the Hawks 109-86. Indiana over Sacramento 103-101, 444 to go in the fourth. All right, Seren Petro will join us in a matter of seconds here on the radio program. Talk about the big trade in the NFL. Kansas City sending Tyreek Hill to Miami. I think there is some question, by the way. I think it was Jeff Schwartz, the former Oregon Duck, who does a bunch of stuff in media, was implying that the chief window to win a Super Bowl had closed, and Seren was none too happy about that. So we'll talk to him about that as well with the departure of Tyreek Hill. What does this mean to their odds of winning a championship in Kansas City? Because Mahomes' cap number goes way up, obviously. There's no question about that. I think you and I both said that maybe their best chance at winning a championship in the next 5 or 6 years was this year, and they blew it after blowing that big lead in the conference title game.
We've seen this story before, man.
Yes, we have.
It happened right here in Seattle, and I agree with Jeff Schwartz. Not that I'm not saying that the Chiefs can't win a Super Bowl, but the window is so much more closed than it was just 1 year ago.
Right.
They can't afford Tyrann Mathieu. They can't afford Tyreek Hill because they're paying their quarterback $50 million a year.
Yeah, would you say it's going to be next to impossible?
They might be there. I mean, they could be a third, fourth place team in that division.
Very well. Very well could. Well, let's get to it. Our friend from Kansas City, he's a broadcasting legend, baby, both in his own mind and in my mind and in his family's mind. Our friend Seren Petro joining us right now from Kansas City. How are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm doing well. You're giving me too much credit. My family does not view me as a legend. But as long as I've got you in my corner, Softy, I'm good.
Well, my mind is very small, by the way, so it's not saying much. Well, let's just talk about it. Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins for 5 draft picks, including a first, a second, and a fourth this year. Why did the Chiefs do this?
You know, I think they've worked pretty hard to try to get an extension done. I mean, I think this has been a possibility that's been looming since last offseason when they asked Tyreek Hill to restructure just to create a little cap room to do some of the maneuvering they did along the offensive line, acquiring Orlando Brown, signing Joe Tooney. And he said no. You know, Patrick Mahomes rolled money back. Chris Jones rolled money back. Now, their deals had roster bonuses that made it a little bit easier. But, you know, this year Joe Tooney was asked to create some cap room, and he did it. Last year Tyreek Hill was asked the same thing, and he said no, and I think that was kind of the beginning of the negotiations. It was clear that he and Drew Rosenhaus were saying, yeah, we'll work with you, but you put a long-term deal on the table, get some certainties and some guarantees. The Chiefs weren't willing to do that with 2 years left on a deal that was very team-friendly. Now, they got to this year knowing where it was headed, that there was no way that Tyreek Hill was going to show up in camp. He'd pretty much shown his cards by not restructuring last year, and so they tried very hard to get a deal done. I think there were reports that around 21.5, 22, 23 million, that maybe that was going to get done. Then the Christian Kirk deal happened, and then the Davante Adams deal happened, resetting the market, resetting what Tyreek Hill and Drew Rosenhaus were asking for. And I think at that point, the Chiefs just said, okay, it's gotten to be too much. No anger. You saw releases from Brett Veach and Andy Reid and Tyreek Hill today. Everybody's, you know, slapping each other on the back, but I think it just isn't going to work out. He wants to be the highest paid. He deserves a big raise. There's no doubt about it. And the Chiefs have a lot of other guys that are making a lot of money. And so it wasn't going to fit with them, so they got as much as they could for him.
And I think you fleeced the Dolphins, to be perfectly honest, with this deal. I think it was a massive package. How is the fan base taking this? Is there a significant percentage that agree with me, or are they all ticked off?
Listen, if they listen to me, they agree with you, because I'm of the – I don't know that I'd use the term fleecing, because we saw the price that, Davante Adams got. He's 3 years older than Tyreek Hill, who just turned 28. So there should be good life left in the legs of, Tyreek Hill. But I'm with you. Like, to me, what I think is interesting is that, you know, this is a team that really – at $30 million, if that's what he wanted, and he wanted to be the highest paid, he'd made that clear to people. That had gotten out there, and I'm hearing today that he wanted to be not only the highest average per year, but the highest signing bonus, the highest everything. He wanted the top. He wanted in no way for there to be any view that, he wasn't the top wide receiver in football. And when you do that, I think if you can, you know, take a look at the information you have, every team knows the other team's cap situation, that was going to be really difficult for the Chiefs. And I think the Chiefs have made it known that they would be willing to trade Tyreek Hill for the last couple of months. So if you know a team's got to trade him and you still end up giving up that many picks, I think the Chiefs did very well. Again, I don't know that I'd go to fleecing, but if you say fleece or not fleece, I'd say yeah. Fleece, right? Well, like, that's a lot for a guy that, you know, a team had to trade.
Yeah, to fleece or not to fleece is the question. So we will find out when it's all said and done. But Seren Petro is with us from Kansas City. What's the current pecking order now in the AFC West?
You know, as we sit here this moment, you know, I wouldn't argue with anyone who said, you know, Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs, or Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs, and put the Chiefs in third. I'd spend a little bit of time arguing with somebody about the Raiders, but I think the important thing is that, you know, they said, Brett Veach said at the end of the year that they would sit out the first round of free agency. They've done that, but now at $28 million, they have the most cap room available in the NFL. Now, they do have a large draft class that they've got to take care of as well, so not all of that money is available for free agency, but they had Marquez Valdez-Scantling in today. They had Ronald Jones, the running back from the Bucks, in today. They're looking at defensive linemen. If, you know, 3 days from now they've signed Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Ronald Jones, and you know, Jadeveon Clowney, and then they have, you know, two picks in the first, two in the second, two in the third, two in the fourth, I think you might view it very differently. But I think you need to see what they do. I think they're just getting ready to start making some kind of moves in free agency. Stephon Gilmore's name's been mentioned as well. So I think they're going to use some of that cap room to improve this team for this year. But I do think a big part of what they're trying to do is, while everybody else is going all in right now, is start kind of resetting their cap and putting themselves in a better position to you know, make the long play.
Well, and you have a $50 million quarterback, and we're seeing, as we go year after year after year, that $50 million quarterbacks making 20% of the cap or what have you aren't winning Super Bowls. So do you think we're going to see a team that finally says no to that? And maybe the Seahawks were the first one, Seren, that they can say all they want. Russell Wilson didn't want to. We don't know if even Seattle would have made another contract to Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, there is, you know, the devil's in the details. The Rams eating of Jared Goff put their quarterback cap number at a giant over 20% when you put all the expenditure that they had on the quarterback position this year. I mean, there's no doubt that, listen, and that's the other thing. The Chargers making their moves are trying to strike while they've got the cheap quarterback. And that's, you know, you saw it in Seattle. We saw it in Kansas City. The quarterback, the great quarterback on the rookie contract, is the best way to go about winning Super Bowls. It gets harder. You got to get better with the cap. You got to finagle some things. And so I think any team that's got a great quarterback on a rookie contract has always got a big advantage. And I think the pressure now, what the Rams did, and even, you know, everyone else having seen all the first-year contract guys get championships, has put more pressure on anyone that as soon as you think you've got a great quarterback, you got to blow it all out. And it's making it a get one championship as opposed to trying to build a dynasty now.
Yeah.
Because everybody is willing to spend to get that first title.
Well, Seren Petro with us in Kansas City, 810 WHB. And look, man, I don't know why we're wasting our time here, because your window is shut. At least that's what Jeff Schwartz said on Twitter. So forget about it, man. Well, what the hell are we even talking for? It's a waste of time.
You know, I asked him that. He made a statement like, it's showing how small the windows are for champions. And I asked him, I tweeted at him, and now maybe he's responded since I last looked, but he hadn't responded. And I know Jeff, but and he hadn't responded yet. I said, are you saying that their window is shut? And I got no response, at least, like I said, last time I checked. But yeah. I wouldn't look. Like I said, if for the same price you had Tyreek Hill, you end up with, you know, Stephon Gilmore, Ronald Jones, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and then all those draft picks, can you tell me that just Tyreek Hill is better than those three players or some combination of three players that they need? you know, maybe. I mean, he's a dynamic player. Like, but to say that the Chiefs are now, like, they were in it for a championship with them, and now they're out of it without him, I think is erroneous, at least at this point.
Well, because of the Tyreek move, our topic du jour today is DK Metcalf. And mm-hmm. I'd love to hear your take on DK Metcalf. He's got 1 year left. Should the Seahawks give him $30 million a year, or should they do something like the Chiefs just did and get a whole bucket for him?
You know, so a couple of things. One, you know, you're not going to have to worry about that because according to the people that are tweeting at me and calling me, he'll be a Chief for pick number 30, right?
Really?
The Seahawks are going to hand him over.
Oh, really? Okay,
good. They
want
that to happen, so therefore, you know, it will happen. I actually did hear from some people that the asking price for DK Metcalf is going to end up being too rich for the Chiefs to get in on it, whatever it is. But, you know, I think that's a difficult question because I think the answer has been yes to go ahead and pay the White House, but the numbers are getting astronomical. I mean, I think teams have recognized how important they are, and when you get to the free agent market, when you pay free agent prices, you always have to overpay. And have we gotten to a point with Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill that, no, these cap numbers are too big, that you certainly can't pair it with a quarterback? Now, if you don't have the quarterback and you're cheap at quarterback, then you can spend the money elsewhere. If you're going to be looking and you're committed to just playing rookie quarterbacks, and if you're going to get a rookie quarterback, the one thing I'll say about the Dolphins is with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, they kept Mike Gesicki, they signed Cedric Wilson from the Cowboys as well.
Yep.
They've signed Terron Armstead to play left tackle. I mean, there's no excuses now. They will at least know what they have in Tua. And if Tua doesn't work and they have to go the Colts route of trying to find the best veteran quarterback out there, see the Broncos and pivoting to Russell Wilson, they have the kind of offense that a quarterback would want to come play in. So, you know, I think that's a difficult question. If you don't have to pay the quarterback, you know, to attract a quarterback, he wants weapons. And I think it's the toughest spot you could be in right now as the Seahawks because you don't have the quarterback, and you're not even sure where to turn
right
for the quarterback. So I think it's a difficult question.
You tell Jeff Schwartz next time you see him that Softy and Dick said he's erroneous.
Erroneous! Erroneous! Erroneous on both counts.
All right, you tell him that. You tell him we said that, pal. All right, we got your
back. It will be done.
We got your back. Thank you for appearing on the Pit of Stupidity here.
Pit of Stupidity.
On the program. Good luck, and we'll talk down the road, pal. Thank you, buddy.
Gentlemen, it's always my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Soren Petro with us on the radio show, and, you know, I was kind of like, dang, you know, when he said that I'm hearing that the market for DK Metcalf is going to be too rich for Kansas City. Wait a minute.
What's the market?
Telling me that you're actually hearing there's a market for DK Metcalf out there? I mean, this is the way things start.
Sure.
People throw stuff out there, and maybe there's a GM. Maybe there's somebody else out there who wants someone else to end up paying more for somebody or less for somebody. It's crazy. And I don't know. Maybe there is a market for DK Metcalf. Maybe the Seahawks have fielded calls on DK, and maybe they have made it known that they will pick up the phone and listen. I mean, why wouldn't they at least listen, right?
You have to listen. They're always competing, right? We've heard that a million
Hell
times.
Yeah.
It's good to know that there's fans in all cities, though, not just this city, that think you can get a superstar player for like one late first round draft pick.
Hey, can we do this? Mike Florio is going to join us about 6:30 or so, courtesy of simplyseattle.com. I want to talk NCAA gambling here. I want to talk NCAA tournament betting here before we get to Mike Florio at 6:30.
Oh.
So, Kevin, do you have
speaking
the...
speaking my language,
Well,
brother.
I know this is just, you know, last-second request. You have the NCAA... Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Are you kidding me with him? I don't even need to get the words out of my mouth. We're in sync.
I was born at night, but I weren't born last night.
Two peas in a pod here, boys. That's the way it works. That's the way you do stuff. I want you to give me, Dick Fain,
yes,
your
sir.
Best play as of right now in the Sweet 16. And before you give it to me, I'll tell you the odds. Arizona's given 1.5 against Houston. Villanova's given 5 against Michigan.
Never tell me the odds.
Gonzaga.
What's that from?
Star Wars. Gonzaga's given 9.5 against Arkansas. Texas Tech is giving 1 against Duke. UCLA giving 2.5 against North Carolina. Asteroid Field, by the way, too. I'll just add to that. Star Wars. Purdue's given 12.5 against St. Peter's, Dick. Kansas 7.5 against Providence. And Miami given 2.5 against Iowa State. Your number one best play of the Sweet 16 is what?
I love Purdue.
Okay.
I have them in the Elite Eight in my bracket.
They're given 12.5.
But they are given way too many points. That St. Peter's team that I watched take down Kentucky, that was no fluke.
Wow.
That looked like two evenly matched basketball teams.
Oh,
I think Purdue wins, but I don't think they win by double digits.
All right. So you'd like St. Peter's to cover.
Plus the points.
That's your best play.
That's my best
Holy cow.
That's my best play.
St. Peter's plus 12.5 is Dick Fain's number one play the rest of the way in the Sweet 16. How about this? Odds to win the national championship starting right now. Your best play. Arizona plus 400. Arkansas plus 3,500. Duke is plus 1,100. Gonzaga is plus 185.
Jeez,
which is by far and away the biggest favorite.
That's one of my worst plays.
And they have to win four games.
That's one of my worst plays.
Houston.
There's no way I'd do that.
Houston, who's Cam Dollar's pick to win the whole thing, is plus 700. Iowa State is plus 8,500. Kansas, 400. Miami at 6,500. Michigan, 5,000. UNC, 2,000. Providence, 5,500. Purdue, 800. St. Peter's, 12,500. That means you put $100 on St. Peter's to win the title, you get 12 grand. Texas Tech, plus 900. UCLA, 1,100. And Villanova, 1,100. Best play to win the whole thing, starting now.
The disrespect that the Duke Blue Devils are getting is bizarre.
Okay.
They're underdogs against Texas Tech.
Okay.
Give me double. You're giving me 11 to 1. I've seen it as high as 18 to 1.
1,100 right here.
For Duke.
What I'm looking at. All right.
I mean,
okay.
They should beat Texas Tech, although it'll be a ball buster.
Right.
They have beaten Gonzaga and can do it again. Then what are their odds if they're in the Final Four?
Okay. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We are for shiggles and gits. We are going to put a parlay.
Why do you keep doing the parlay?
Well, I'm just going to tell you what it pays.
Can you? Right? You can't parlay. Wait, what are you parlay?
You can parlay whatever you want.
You can parlay the.
I'm going to parlay futures? Duke winning the national championship and St. Peter's getting 12.5 this weekend. Okay, how much you want to put down? Let's put down $500.
Okay.
Let's see what $500 pays. $500 pays $6,000.
Wow!
If both those things
really?
Happen. Yep. How about that?
Wow.
Give me $500.
Yeah.
So you like Duke to win the whole thing, at least from the odds perspective.
From a value perspective.
And you like St. Peter's plus 12.5. I think the Zogs, by the way, I hate to say this.
They might kill Arkansas.
We are the official home of Arkansas basketball. Arkansas. I think they're going to crush Arkansas tomorrow.
And I just realized something. That 3 years ago, when we were checking those 2019 brackets with the Huskies in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You knew who played in the Elite Eight in the West region?
Who's that?
Gonzaga and Texas Tech. Do you know who won that game?
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech.
Yep,
and it could be Gonzaga and Texas Tech again in the Elite Eight coming up. And Texas Tech is just a bear to play. But I do think Duke finds a way to get by him.
Unbelievable,
close.
Man. Unbelievable. All right, well, we got Sweet 16 action starting tomorrow. On this radio show, Bulldogs versus Hogs is first up at 4 o'clock. P.J. Carlissimo is going to join us as well at 3:30 tomorrow and get us ready for the Sweet 16. We are your official home, by the way, for all the NCAA tournament action. Final Four next weekend from Nolens. And if you've ever been curious to know what NCAA tournament basketball, what the Final Four sounds like on FM radio, we're going to make some history next weekend here by putting the Final Four on FM radio for the first time ever in Seattle radio history. How about that?
I love it.
College basketball sounds great on 93.3. I listened so many. I drove to Spokane and back this weekend. I listened to a lot of college basketball.
No matter what they say about us, they can never say we're not making history. Mike Florio is going to join us, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. Coming next right here on 93.3 KJRFM.